Paula, have you had reports of people who think, I know I have over the years, people who think they've been cured or treated by ETs? I guess.
Yeah, I have. But, you know, Stan is, like, he's so involved. I mean, this is not a story that happens just just a little bit. I mean, I've been around them and all kinds of weird stuff. Well, I brought Swiss television to Stan's house, as Stan and Lisa, and he was doing an interview with Swiss TV, and the faucet went on by itself, and the water's just, just coming down. Or when just now they had National Geographic, they were there for 2 days, and the power goes out, and Stan gets this crazy phone call. I don't know, Lisa, if you want to tell him, but he gets a crazy phone call. And, you know, then there's this black helicopter over his house. Or another time, Lisa, Stan, and I were up in Crestone, which is a very spiritual place. It's where Stephen Greer does his CSETI trainings. And Stan and I had been speaking at the Watchtower up there, and Lisa, Stan, and I went to do a peace ceremony near a stupa, Buddha stupa, you know, because it's so gorgeous, and there you see the whole prairie. And we said a prayer for peace. So I get home, and I get one of these weirdo Audrey calls that I don't know if Lisa wants to talk about the Audrey calls, which are a robotic woman's voice. So Paula gets one. And basically what she said to me, because when I was up there at this beautiful place in the middle of the mountains, I had mentally said, I hate to leave. I really want to stay here. Well, this robotic woman's voice says to me when she calls, by the way, the display was my bed and breakfast, and I call them, and they had not made the call. She says to me, Paula, you will go back. And I'm going, who the heck is this? I mean, it's like if you're around Stan and Lisa, you get all this weirdness. And Lisa, did you talk about the Audrey calls yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, tell Jerry all about how this being calls on the phone and has this robotic...
Yeah, I'd like to know about these robotic calls. Tell me about it.
Well, we call the caller Audrey because Alejandro Rojas, who is our investigator, a couple years ago, found a text-to-speech program that sounds similar, but it isn't exact. And it's my opinion that there are three different sources for this caller, or this voice being used. But the first call we got was when we were in Colorado Springs, and it was a very dangerous year for us there. But it basically says, started calling Stan Starseed, and said... It says, hello, Starseed. Our intention is not to fear or alarm you, but to inform you that Lisa and the children are in danger also. Maybe now you'll understand you need to move out of Colorado Springs. Well, that was very scary. But the calls continued. And a lot of them were warning calls.
Did it come at certain times of the day or different times? Or?
It varies. It's just all over the clock. That call actually came in the middle of the night because it was like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. I wondered what time they call.
And some of the calls are very much fear-based. So I think those are more the opposition, black ops kind of stuff that they know what programs are being used or how this works. And then... some of the calls are, in our opinion, extraterrestrial. And they say that they use this form of communication because it's easy to connect with us that way. So we're still not sure where and how it happened.
So if I understand you correctly, you feel that there may be more than one source for these calls. Some of them are black operations trying to put fear into you. And the others are, for lack of a better term, legitimate, perhaps extraterrestrial.
Yes. And the other source is what we call the white lighters, or the inside government or military, whatever genre they want to be, people that are helping us from inside those same groups as the black ops. just giving
I've heard these stories before from people, you know, they figure Black Ops is doing as much as the others. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, it's normal. It's logical, Jerry. I mean, first of all, the call I got was not Black Ops, and it was something that heard my brain say I wanted to go back, you know, because I didn't even tell Lisa and Stan what I was thinking, so whoever was reading my mind was the one that made the call. And I couldn't even understand half of what she was saying. It was sounded like it was a million miles away. But just to tell you, I'm covering a story in Italy right now, a major story, big story. And this man, who is a contactee in Genoa, he is very much watched over by the intelligence community because down deep, they know who the contactees are, and they want to know. They want to know, just like everybody else, they want to know they want to know about the extraterrestrial presence on Earth. They would be stupid if they didn't want to know. They have a natural curiosity. They know they can't control it. I don't know what you can control about all that. But they want to know about it. They want to document it. They want to follow it. This is not just about grays, especially with Stan's story. He's got possum people in there. He's got human-looking aliens in there. He's got everything. It's about all the different groups of alien cultures, how they contact Earth's people. So where you have a contactee, you're going to also have the intelligence community involved. You're going to have the Black Ops. Well, Black Ops, to me, is more military-industrial complex as doing the technology. I think of the intelligence community being the ones that are looking after the actual contactees and trying to figure out what's going on. And, of course, they're not going to want Stan to talk, because they can't figure it out. They certainly don't want him to go on stage and talk about this. and you don't offer any answers to anybody. So I think that they tried to discourage Lisa and Stan, but it's too late now because Lisa's got her book out there. And everybody knows about this, so it's not top secret.
Lisa, when earlier we were talking, you mentioned the fact that your family have been involved, and then I kind of got the impression that maybe you've had some abduction experiences too, have you?
I believe I have, but I have no conscious memories of them. They're more dreams.
And have you figured out why Stan was a target of these people, for lack of a better term, or how would you phrase it? Maybe target's not the right word.
Well, and he has new books out also, Answers and the Orion Regressions. But in Answers, he kind of explains that he really feels that he was part of a project called Project Preserve Destiny. And Dan Sherman talks about it in his book, Above Black. And a lot of people were actually, abducted, more like taken by this black project that our government was running at that time, working with the extraterrestrials, and created these children who had been genetically manipulated, genetically altered. So
you said running at that time. Are they not running anything? Or is the cooperation or whatever, is it over with? Or what do you mean?
From 1960 to 1968. So children up until the 1969 could be a part of that project. But they shut it down. Who knows what other projects are running now, what has been in the past. I mean, there are so many black projects, and under them there are gray projects. They just hide it well.
I want to get into, and then we'll open up the phone lines and discuss all of this. This is it's very fascinating, both of you. Must understand, but at the same time, there's a people story here that I want to get into. Paula Harris, have Lisa Romanek and some other women appearing down in Texas in May, and I want to find out how that came about and tell our listeners what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the first 2012 Women's Symposium on UFOs.
I
wish you could come. I would love to see you there. Basically, it was a thought of mine because what I'd like to do, people have asked me a lot about the difference in conferences in Europe and the conferences here. Well, this conference is called a symposium because it's basically a dialogue. It's a lot of people are going to sit around and talk about this seriously, which means I'm not allowing any gimmicks or UFOs to hang from the ceiling or, you know, how I feel about all that stuff. I'm having a serious dialogue with a group of very intelligent researchers and women. And the reason why it's women is because I think we need to balance the energy. In fact, all the music and all the poetry in the beginning of this is all Native American. You know about the Native American grandmothers that are the wise ones in the Lakota tribe and all the other tribes. Well, if the grandmothers are the wise ones in all these indigenous tribes, we got to have a few wise women in our white tribes, too. And I really think that people like Carol Rosin, who is absolutely amazing, has worked with Wernher von Braun and is trying to bring a stop to, bringing the nuclear out in space, the peace treaty. She's working on a peace treaty to ban nuclear weapons in space. People like Dr. Lynn Kitai that was the medical doctor that risked her career to come forward and talk about the Phoenix Lights that she filmed. People like Angela Joyner that lost her job over the reporting of the Stephenville Lights. In fact, she's going to get a special award. Lisa Romanek that is brave enough to talk about her experiences as the spouse of an abductee. Tracy Austin Peters, who's going to be my MC, she's from Great Britain, and she has a book on abductions also. And just these wonderful ladies, and we have a wonderful lady, Karen Grisham, that you interviewed the other night. She's absolutely great. She provides a spiritual balance to this dialogue, and we're going to have it in Glen Rose, Texas, because that's the closest to Stephenville I could get. And it's not all women, Jerry. A lot of men have registered, plus Angela Joyner is leading a panel of four of the Stephenville witnesses, Steve Allen, Robert Powell, who did the radar reports, Leroy Gayton, the constable, and Ricky Searles, whom I talked to on the phone, who has so much to tell us. We're going to have a dialogue about these phenomena that are happening and how people can learn from them, and it's near Stephenville, so that we'll also get to do a Skywatch Saturday night at Ground Zero on the Odom Ranch. So it's a new experience. It's a new kind of conference. It's a new concept. It's something new, and a lot of men and women are registering, but what I love the most is the four MUFON groups are meeting down there. Four MUFON groups are going to network in Denver. MUFON is the one that paid for the award for Angela Joyner, so it's also a great networking situation.
Now, tell our audience the date and where it's being held there in Glen Rose, Texas. And Glen Rose is about hour and a half from Dallas, and maybe, 45 minutes or so from Fort Worth, something like that?
Yeah, it's an hour from Dallas, and Glen Rose is about half an hour from Stephenville. And it will be May 18th, 19th, and 20th. The 18th is the Lady in Red cocktail party. It's a meet-and-greet cocktail party at the Holiday Inn Express, which is our formal hotel. And we will be showing the film The Hidden Hand by James Carman from New York. That film won the EB Award at the International UFO Congress. It's all about contact. And then the next day we have the speakers and the panel on Stephenville, and Lisa will be speaking on Sunday, the half day. It will be dedicated to contact. And the early bird registration, we've extended it until the 15th of April. It's $75, which is really cheap. I mean, $75 for 3 days, and it will go up to $90 on the day of the conference. But they can go onto the website to register. It's www.starworksusa.com. Starworksusa.com, and all people are welcome. It's a great networking situation.
We refer people to that website all the time so they can register. And it, you know, you've been doing some shows with Steve Allen. I've done one with Steve Allen and Angela Joyner before. What did both of you make of Stephenville itself? Lisa, first, you just talked about some new sightings down around Stephenville on your blog back in February. What do you make of all of this? In your experience, for instance, did he ever see a giant UFO, or were they normal size, or did he ever see a UFO?
He's seen many UFOs. I've seen many UFOs.
And so when you talk about that, I think Stephenville is one of the most interesting sightings of all. You have these radar reports that are pretty important. Don't you agree, Paula?
Well, yeah. Well, when I went down there to prepare for this conference, I was more mesmerized with talking to Steve Allen than I was even working on the conference, because that's what I do for a living. I love talking to people who have experiences. I'm sitting there with Steve Allen, and he's looking at me, and I asked him, what would you say to the world? He said, I'd say to the president, the gig is up, the cat's out of the bag, now tell us what's going on. And here is a very conservative, you know, businessman pilot. And this is a pilot, so he knows what he's looking at. And he goes on to the Odom Ranch, and they're sitting there having a couple of beers. He turns around, and he sees this huge UFO. He said, you know, it was almost a mile long. And he said it was kind of transparent. He knew it was nothing like he ever saw. He said that whatever was inside, he felt was looking at him. And when I asked him, well, you know, this is what we ordinarily do, what do you think it was doing there? It certainly wasn't on vacation. He said to me, well, he says, when I fly my plane over that area, my compass goes to zero. I said, what do you mean your compass goes to zero? He said, it doesn't go north, west, south, or anything. He says, it just goes to zero. I said, well, whatever that thing was, it came out of that area where your compass goes to zero. Could that be a portal? And if it's a portal, it's not going to come out once or twice. It's going to come out when it feels like it. And as far as the radar reports that Robert Powell has, it shows that the planes were scrambled. Steve Allen saw the F-16s. They're chasing this thing. And what's amazing about Steve Allen is when Angela Joyner did the story, he put his telephone number in the paper, which is something I'd never do. I said, you actually put your phone number there? He said, yeah, because I thought I was going crazy. He said, whenever people have a sighting, they feel better if other people come out of the woodwork and say, you know, I saw it too. It took a long time for the constable to admit it because he's a political man. So, you know, Leroy Gayton is very courageous to admit it. Now, this happened with Romanak too, with Stan, when he saw that UFO that he was filming in the park, Lisa, remember? He had to go up to the people and say, are you seeing this too? Are you seeing this?
Yeah, and they were actually videotaping it as well. So there were two separate videos that night of the same object. And
I tell you what, let's do. Let's open up the phone lines and also go to the chat room and also my email address. The question's kind of blunt, but I think it's something that we need to know, and that is, Lisa and Paula, how do you know that Stan Romanak, the story itself is true? And we addressed that a little bit on the trailer that we played a little earlier, Lisa, when you said right up front in that trailer that you believed him.
Well, she lives with him. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than just an extraterrestrial in the window or the alien in the window video. We have 11 years of documented events where, you know, it's not just us seeing these things happen. There has been witnesses with us, witnesses around us, just like Paula was saying, in the park. Other people are seeing these events. We have trace evidence, actual physical evidence. We have, you know, scientific documentation of not only the implant that was removed from Stan's leg, but also the stuff that he came back with from one of his abductions in his hand that turned out to be elemental bismuth. You know, it's not just us saying these things are happening. and expecting people to believe us. And it's not even our quest to make people believe. We're simply telling our story. And if you choose to, okay. If you choose not to, that's fine too. We know what has happened to us. We know what we've documented. It's real. It's happening. There is no doubt that Stan has experienced these things. Nor have
Paula, this is one of the things that I'm sure you've run across over the years, the decades. When people go public and they start telling these stories, there's always some people out there says, oh, yeah, sure, or naysayers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I guess in one way, that's to be expected. In another way, these people probably come forward and tell things, like Steve Allen put his telephone number in there. He probably didn't realize that he's going to get so many stories. I mean, this is a pretty common instance of people seeing UFOs, and now, after the last 10 years, we've been discussing contact and abductions, and there seems to be a lot of it going on, not just a little bit.
Yeah, well, I don't think Steve Allen wanted to be part of this. I think it happens to people. But let me talk about Stan's case for one thing. I interviewed Stan 7 years ago, when he was working with Deborah Lindemann, when she was doing the regressions. And I have this sixth sense for people that are telling the truth. I don't do a whole bunch of contact cases. I mean, because I do more military, I do pilots, I do pilot cases. I'd rather do a case with an astronaut or somebody that has a military background. But 7 years ago, when I met Stan and I listened in detail, because Stan, I don't think, wanted to be part of this either. I mean, they sort of get drafted into it. I knew his story was real. I waited for about 4 years before I did it. But Stan Romanek's case, and this is the truth, is one of the most documented cases on the planet. There is so much material in Stan's case because he also has downloaded anti-gravity formulas that he's written backwards. I mean, Stan's case has everything, film, you know, all kinds of real proof. As Lisa said, if you do your homework, you know that elemental bismuth is something that Linda Howe talks about all the time as far as being part of UFO crash pieces. You have to know the background, and I, as a journalist, support this case because not only have I been looking at it for 7 years, I really believe it is the most documented. In other words, enough people have really researched it that are professionals to know that his case is amazing and it's ongoing.
Lisa, have you and Stan discussed why me? In other words, why did they start with Stan? Is there something special about him or what?
Well, you know, Jerry, that's the million-dollar question. I think every contactee on the planet right now has asked themselves and others, why me? No one knows why these individuals are chosen. Is it, you know, it could be the genetic connection. I have no clue. Stan still doesn't know why. And that's, I think, going to be a question for him and every other contactee abductee for a long time until the extraterrestrials tell them why. And, you know, Stan will tell you, you know, all he can figure out from this is that he is supposed to be a messenger, to simply tell his story and share what has happened to help others believe that it's real.